The scripture reading for this morning is from 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Our text this morning is from 1 Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear congregation, let me start with a question. Do you have any cares? Are there things that trouble you, that worry you? Well, would there be any one of us in this congregation this morning who could say, well, I have nothing to worry about. I think and think, but I can think of nothing that troubles me. Well, people like that are not present here this morning, are they? Even the children in our midst, they have their own cares and troubles and worries in their own way. But we all have our troubles and our worries. And maybe when you look at other people, you can think, well, in his life, in her life, in their family, there is nothing wrong at all, nothing to worry about. But when you look a little closer, you will find that in every family and in every person's life, there are worries and troubles and cares. And surely, situations are not the same. Some of us have to go through much more troubles than others. And characters are not the same too. Whereas some people can really worry about something, someone else can, in a somewhat the same situation, can go along without worrying about it. But we all know what worries, troubles, and what our text calls cares are. And therefore, our text this morning is a very appealing text. And our theme this morning is, My Cares, God's Care. My Cares, God's Care. And those are the two points for this morning's sermon too. My Cares, God's Care. Well, our text this morning is such a comforting text that it is a text that you typically find in letters or postcards that we write to one another when someone is in distress or in trouble, to comfort the other. Cast your cares on the Lord, for He careth for you. But a danger exists when we find the text so comforting and so appealing. The danger is that we take it out of its context and forget the original context. And we need to know the context of this verse because it defines what it actually says. This text is taken from the first epistle of the Apostle Peter. And Peter writes to the persecuted church of his days, people who had many cares and troubles. Because in Peter's days, when you belonged to that early Christian church, you could very easily lose your job when your boss found out that you had become a Christian and you were not prepared to bow for the heathen idols anymore. You could just lose your job. And even if you kept your job, there still was that ongoing anxiety, when will my boss find out and what will he do to me? But not only in your professional life there were many anxieties, but also in social life, Christians became isolated in those days. Your neighbors wouldn't greet you anymore once they found out that you were a Christian. And your family, sometimes they would just act as if you didn't exist anymore. Your colleagues, they wouldn't like you anymore once they noticed that you wouldn't join them in the festivities for the heathen idols. And so you became isolated. Yet sometimes Christians even were robbed or beaten up simply because they were Christians. And in most cases, going to the police and that would be useless because the authorities in those days, they had a strong dislike for Christians too. And sometimes the authorities would even persecute Christians actively, arrest them, torture them, and even sometimes kill them. Well, that's the situation the people are in to whom Peter writes his letter. They have many troubles. And that's why Peter writes, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But isn't that all too easy for Peter to write words like that? Some of us know, don't we, that when you're in trouble, there are people who can express their sympathy with you, and they can try to comfort you, but you can hear from the tone in their voice and from the words they choose that they don't actually know what it is to be in that situation. And that's why it's not comforting at all. It only makes you feel isolated more. Is that the case here? Is it just cold comfort? No, it is not. Because when Peter writes his letter, he is in the exact same situation as the people are to whom he writes. We know that because Peter sends his greetings in verse 13 from the church that is at Babylon. Saluted you. Babylon. That doesn't mean that Peter actually is in Babylon. He never was there, but in the early church, Babylon was the name Christians used to describe the capital of the Roman Empire, Rome. Peter is in Rome when he writes these words. And if you ever read something about the history of the early church, you know that Rome was not only the capital of the Roman Empire, but it also was the capital of persecution. Christians were arrested there and were put to death. And that's where Peter is. And we know from the tradition of the early church that Peter has in fact been crucified. Peter knows what he writes about. And still he writes, "Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you." And maybe when you hear this text, you think, well, it sounds as a comforting text, and it does. But how can I do it, this? How can I cast my cares on the Lord? And to answer that question, we have to focus on the immediate context of our text, verse 6, because our text, as you may have noticed, is no more than a subordinate clause. You can find the main sentence in verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And we should understand the connection between verse 6 and verse 7 in the following way. Verse 7 explains how someone can do what verse 6 commands. Humble yourselves. How? By casting all your cares on Him. So before we move on to our actual text, we have to see what verse 6 means. Peter points to the mighty hand of God. And God's hand, that always means in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, God's power, God's might. And Peter implies that behind all the persecution, behind all the hardships, the Christians he addresses should see God's mighty hand, His providence. His providential care. And here we see that Peter addresses true believers and not just unconverted people. Because he actually says, he actually writes that God has the power to direct all things according to His will, and that in the persecution, when they are robbed, when they are put into jail, when they maybe will have to stand up, testify to the name of the Lord and be killed, that's God's hand. Well, if an unbeliever, an unconverted person, hears something like that, how will he react? They'll say, what's the use of believing in a God like that? Who has the power to prevent troublesome things to happen. But He just lets it happen. What's the use of believing in a God like that, who is almighty, but who does not prevent hardships to come for His children? Peter admonishes true believers to humble themselves under God's mighty hand, that is, to take the place before God that they deserve, that is, their place. Why does Peter write that? Because we humans, by ourselves and by nature, often place ourselves too high. Then we know what is good for us, and we think, well, if only the Lord listened to what I think and what I have to say, and if He did what I think is best, then things would take a turn for better. That's how we think by nature. But Peter exhorts us to humble ourselves, to admit that we are unwise, and that the Lord is the only wise God. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Let me use an example to clarify this. Someone under 50 years, with a cancer in his body, in his head, a true believer. One of his colleagues asked him, well, you think that God is almighty, don't you? And he said, yes, I do think that. So He could have prevented this cancer to come into your body. And He did not. What's the use of believing in a God like that? And this man answered, no, not that he understood exactly how God's ways were. No, he didn't say that he could understand how the Lord did all these things. And he didn't say, well, I'll tell you how the Lord works and how His wisdom is. But he did say, I rather am in the hand of God than in the hand of a blind fate that takes whatever turn, a blind fate. I'd rather have the hand of God, because God's almighty hand also is His fatherly hand, and I can think no evil of this loving God. That is what humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God is. Well, maybe some of us have a question at this particular point in the sermon. And maybe you say, well, an unconverted person will never say things like that, will never humble himself under the mighty hand of God. But still, believers don't always humble themselves under God's mighty hand, do they? In the hearts of true believers, you will not always find this humility. But sometimes there are thoughts, why? And why me? And why now? And you will find that in the heart of true believers also. Because it is difficult to humble myself under God's mighty hand. No, it's not difficult to do so when I'm healthy and my loved ones are and everything is going fine in my life and my career is okay and everything is fine in my life. But it is difficult to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. When things are difficult. When I have to go to the hospital for this or for that. To humble myself under God's mighty hand when I can't do what I would like to do. It's so very difficult to humble myself under God's mighty hand when things take a turn for the worse. And how can I do that? Isn't it inhuman what Peter exhorts us to do? Well, here we can return to our text. Because our text explains how someone can do what verse 6 exhorts us to do. How can I humble myself under the mighty hand of God? I can only do so when I cast my cares on Him. And now, before we narrow our focus to our actual text, there is one lesson that we should learn concerning ourselves. Because Peter connects humbling yourself and casting your cares on the Lord. So when I humble myself under God's mighty hand, then I cast my cares on Him. And when I cast my cares on Him, I humble myself under God's mighty hand. But what is the reverse side of that? The reverse side is that if I keep my sorrows, my troubles, my anxieties, my cares for myself, and do not cast them on the Lord, then I'm not humbling myself, but I am proud. It's a matter of pride. If I keep my anxieties to myself, well, how can that be? Because if I do not cast my cares upon the Lord, I actually think that I am better off when I take care of it than when the Lord takes care of it. And that's human pride. And that's sin. I trust myself more than I trust the Lord. And that's why I keep my anxieties to myself. I don't trust the Lord enough. That's a lesson to learn from our text. It's a beautiful word the Apostle Peter uses, isn't it? Cast your cares. In the original, it's the same word as we find when Judas cast the pieces of silver into the temple. He didn't just take the pieces of silver and put them somewhere in the temple. He cast them into the temple. And that's a word that is very apt for our sorrows, isn't it? Because our anxieties and our troubles are no things that you can just put aside and they'll stay there. No. They are dangerous things. They look you into the eye. And the only way to get rid of them is to cast them, to throw them away. And that's what Peter exhorts us to do. The image Peter evokes probably is that of a soldier with one of these enormous bags soldiers carry. And he has been marching for miles and miles, and finally he reaches his destination. And what does he do? Does he very, very gently put his bag down? No. He just throws it down. That's the image Peter uses. Cast your cares upon the Lord. upon the Lord. We shouldn't just cast our cares in whatever direction. That's what our world says. But cast it on the Lord. And then all your care. It doesn't read all your cares, but all your care. And in the original, that means the complete pack of your cares. All of it. You don't have to sort it out before. But all your care, your complete care. How can I do that? By prayer. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Prayer is the means to cast our cares unto the Lord. Well, this is what our text says about our cares. Either I cast my cares upon the Lord, and by doing so I humble myself under His mighty hand, or I keep my cares to myself. And when I do that, I show my pride. So please take a close look at your cares and care and troubles and anxieties, all of it, this morning. God's Word is not superficial. It doesn't deny that there are troubles in our lives. There are. See what your troubles are. And hear this text. We should cast it all care, on the Lord. Don't sort things out first. We like to do that, don't we? This is something physical. This is something mental. This is something spiritual. Cast all your care upon the Lord. And if any of us would say this morning, "But there are sinful cares too. And what should I do with sinful cares? For example, if I am so proud and so overly ambitious, and I feel troubled when my career does not develop in the extraordinary way I thought that would be fitting for the extraordinary person I am." Sinful cares. I should cast my sinful cares especially on the Lord. Because when I cast my sinful cares on the Lord, I find out that there was no reason at all to care for these things. Sinful cares. Well, let me ask you this question. When you looked at your cares and troubles, as you just did, there were troubles in your personal life, there were troubles in your family, troubles in the church, troubles in society. Were there also any spiritual troubles and cares in your life? Do you worry? Do you care about your soul or not? That's important, because what is important to us, you can measure it by just looking at the things that we worry about. The things we worry about are the things that are really important in our lives. Do we ever worry about the way the Lord sees us? Do we ever care about our souls? If not, maybe you think this is a strange application from this text, but it is an application from this text. if you do not care about your soul at all, it is about time to begin worrying, to begin to care about your soul. Because you are in a very serious condition. But if we do have our spiritual cares, what should we do with them? Our text says, cast them on the Lord. And you will probably say, well, I knew that before I entered the church. Of course, I should cast my spiritual cares upon the Lord. We all know that. But how can I do that? Because it is so difficult. How can I really cast these cares on the Lord? Well, the only possibility is if you see the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers Himself as the great burden bearer. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and the cares of the world also. If we lay our cares on Him, only if we see Him, only if we trust Him who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, we need this apostolic exhortation, don't we? We with our many, many cares. But how difficult it is. Do you know what we are often like when we try to cast our cares upon the Lord? If we try, if we pray and try to pray until we really pray to lose our cares, to cast them on the Lord, we are often like that fisherman who stands by the waterside and who casts his fishing line. He casts it out. And he pulls it back in again, takes it back in. We cast our cares on the Lord, or at least we think we do. And when we end our prayers, we take our cares and our troubles with us again. That's how we are, aren't we? But this text says that we should not be like that fisherman, but like that boy, that little boy at the same waterside who sees a stone and he takes it and he casts it, throws it into the water and it disappears. You won't find that stone anymore. Well, that's the way to cast our cares upon the Lord. And let me ask you this question. Did you ever do that? Do you know what this text means in practice? That moment when you were so worried, when you were so full of all sorts of cares and troubles, and the Lord gave you the grace that you could just cast it on Him and leave it there. What a grace that is. The Lord exhorts us to do this. But you will say, well, even those of you who know, who have experienced what this is, you will say, but it's so difficult. And how can I do that once more? Or how can I do that for the very, very first time in my life? We'll hear that when we look at the second part of our text. Well, you may still say, I find it so very difficult to cast my cares upon the Lord. And it is. It is. We even have to go one step further and say, casting our cares upon the Lord is impossible unless we truly believe the reason that Peter points to, the reason why we should cast our cares upon the Lord. For He careth for you. Only if we believe that the Lord will care for me, then will I cast my cares on Him. And first, note the very, very personal way in which Peter expresses the care of the Lord. It doesn't read, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for it. For your cares. He will take care of it. No, the Lord always seeks the entire person, the heart. He cares for you. And there you hear the Lord's love in it. For He cares for you. And of course, we could ask, who are the you? Who are the addressees of this promise? And we will, but first see how the Apostle Peter paints here, as it were, God's character. God is the God who cares. That's who He is. That's not just what He does. It is who He is. He is the God who said to Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And He took care of His people. Even when they turned their backs to the Lord. Even when the people were exiled, the Lord still promised, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord is the one who cares. And that's why He said, through His Son, seek the kingdom of God first. Take no thought for your life, that is, do not worry about it. That's who the Lord is. And maybe we think, would the Lord hear me? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And maybe we think, would the Lord see me? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He hears. He sees, and He is the God who cares. But who are we? Who are we? If we do not experience the Lord's care for us, whose fault is that? We cannot blame the Lord, can we? It's our fault. Because this is how our text functions. The more I cast my cares upon the Lord, the more He will take care of me, and the more I will experience that, but the less I cast my cares on Him, because in my pride I keep them to myself, the less will I experience His care. And Peter writes to people who have experienced the Lord's care in their lives, for He cares for you. Peter says, look back in your life. Can't you see the Lord's care day after day, week after week, year after year? He is the Lord who cares for you. But someone may ask, well, what does this care mean? We know that some of the people to whom Peter wrote actually ended up in prison or in the arena and were killed. What does this care mean? Well, God's care for His people does not always mean, actually, most often it does not mean that he takes his people out of the distress, out of the troubles, but it means that he is with his people in the very midst of the troubles. That's what God's care is like. Take Psalm 23, for example. The most beautiful psalm of all, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How can David say that? There are no troubles at all, so it seems. The Lord cares for him. Does that mean that his life is like a rose garden? No. In the same psalm, he describes himself as walking through the valley of the shadow of death, imminent death and destruction. But still he can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How is that possible? It's possible because he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the secret. That's God's care. Thou art with me. I think of the example of Paul and Silas in prison. What a trial that was. They proclaimed the gospel. They spoke the word of God, but they were arrested. They were tortured. They were imprisoned, and there they are, their backs hurt, and they are in darkness, and still they sing God's praises in the night. How is that possible? Because they prayed, and in that prayer they cast their cares upon the Lord, and they experience, once you cast your cares upon the Lord, His care is even greater than the sum of all your troubles. So it's possible that all things are against you, but the Lord still cares. Let me quote one more example from Scripture, because this is such a central notion. Look at David at the ruins of Ziklag. That town where he stayed among the Philistines, he felt safe there. But then all is ruined, and all women and children have been taken captive by the Amalekites. And even David's men, the only friends he has left, his friends turn into his enemies because they are so angry. And they need a scapegoat, and David is the scapegoat, and they intend to stone him. What can David do? And then we read that mighty sentence, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. His problems aren't gone yet. He's in the middle of his problems. But he casts his care upon the Lord, and the Lord cares for him. And maybe you'll say, now that's good for David, and that's good for Paul. But what about me and my problems, my troubles? How can I cast my cares upon the Lord? It's impossible unless you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you trust Him more than you trust yourself. Unless you trust Him on His word that the one who shall flee to Him, He shall in no wise cast out. He has never disappointed anyone who casts His care upon Him. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd. And He cares for His flock. And those who put their trust in Him, they are lost for Satan. Satan will never succeed in trying to take the Lord's flock, the Lord's sheep. Jesus Christ is the proof of this text. Who had so many cares as He did when He bore the sins of His people, and who humbled Himself in the way He did. And His Father has shown that He takes care by raising His Son from the dead on the third day. Well, you and I will have to make a choice this morning. When we leave this building this morning, we either take our cares with us or God's care. And if you say it like that, well, of course, every one of us would take God's care instead of our cares and troubles, don't we? But the truth is, if the Lord leaves us to ourselves, we will take our cares with us, our troubles with us, instead of His care. That's what sin is. The Lord offers us life and care and light, and we rather choose death and destruction and our own troubles. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ then this morning. And tell me, no, tell Him, isn't He worth to be trusted? To be trusted more than you trust yourself. Isn't He worth it that you cast all your cares on Him and let Him take care for you? He invites you to do that. No, He even commands you to do that. Cast all your cares on Him. If you do so, and if you, child of God, know what this text means in practice, you will also know that your troubles reoccur and that new problems arise. And that's why this text is a daily piece of homework for every Christian. So when you wake up tomorrow morning and you think, oh no, I have to do that and such and so, and on your knees and cast it unto the Lord, upon the Lord. Daily homework. I once read about a person who held a very responsible position in the church, and there were so many troubles in the church that he just couldn't sleep one night. And he walked over to his bedroom window and he prayed this short prayer: Lord, the church belongs to Thee. Please take care of it. I will go to sleep. And he went back to his bed and slept. He cast his cares upon the Lord. And that's why he could sleep. Well, what should you pray then this morning? Lord, my body, Thou hast created it. Lord, my children, they bear Thy name upon their foreheads. Lord, fill it in for yourself. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And let me encourage you by pointing to the example of Peter himself. I cannot read these words but think of Peter when once he wept bitterly after he had said that no, he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Even then, the Lord took care for Peter. Wouldn't he take care for you if you cast your cares upon him? Well, one thing that I have to point to, because otherwise I would do injustice to this text. The first epistle of Peter, there is a lot in it about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in verse 10, the God of all grace, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect. A little suffering. A short time. And that places our present sufferings, troubles, problems in the right perspective. Eternal glory. Paul writes, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I once heard about an American missionary who had worked in Africa for decades and who returned to the United States because of his retirement. And it was in a time when you couldn't travel as easily as you can in our days. There were no airplanes. Everything had to be done by boat. So he returned for the first time in maybe 30 or 40 years. And he happened to be on the same ship as the President of the United States. And when they arrived, well, you could see it from afar off. 10,000s of people. There was music. And there was a red carpet. What a welcome. For the president, of course. Not for this missionary. He arrived all alone. And there he stood. All alone with his bag. Looking upon the welcome for the president. And he thought a little bitterness in his heart. Well, this is the welcome for the servant of the Lord. This is my welcome. Here I am, all alone. But it was as if the Lord said to him, my dear child, just wait, because you're not home yet. When God's child comes home, there will be a welcome that the President of the United States could never dream of. And then the Lord will show how He cares for His children. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, grant us that we, by the working of Thy Holy Spirit, may cast all our care unto You, unto Thee. And grant us the grace that we will not keep our cares and troubles to ourselves, but that we may truly cast them unto Thee. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, care for Thy flock and grant us that we may trust in Thee even more than we trust ourselves. Forgive our sins, even of this worship service, and may Thy word bear fruit in our hearts and in our lives. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.